In John chapter 18, we read of the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus as follows. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. So Jesus is betrayed by Judas. And these people from the chief priests and Pharisees, this band of men and officers come at night with lanterns and torches and weapons to take him. And he is led, in the end, bound, first unto Annas and then unto the high priest Caiaphas. And it is Caiaphas before whom he is brought in a mock trial. And then handed over to the Romans. And ultimately betrayed and condemned to death. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So Caiaphas hands over Jesus into the hands of Pilate, the Roman. And Jesus testifies to Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. And that he came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, he says. To which Pilate asks, What is truth? Here in this trial, the one who spake truth, the one who is truth, stood before his adversaries who accused him and lied about him and betrayed him. They brought him before so-called justice and used the wickedness and lies of men to put the only truth to death. He stood before his adversaries and they pronounced him guilty, even though he was innocent. The only one who spake the truth, the only one who knew the truth, the only one who is truth, was condemned to death. And a robber, a villain, Barabbas was released in his place. He who is truth was substituted for those who were wicked. And he died that the wicked might be set free. But proceeding over these events was Caiaphas, the high priest. Caiaphas put the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, unto death. He proceeded over events in order that Jesus should die. And what we read of Caiaphas when he's introduced in this chapter, in verse 14, is that not only did Caiaphas bring this about, but he also had prophesied that it should be. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Caiaphas was he that gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. This high priest Caiaphas is introduced to us in the scriptures at several points, and his position as high priest spanned the ministry of Jesus. We first read of him in Luke chapter 3, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This adversary of Christ is presented unto us. He was there at the beginning, he was there throughout, and in the end, he proceeded over that which led to Jesus' death. In Luke chapter 3 we read, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, and neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will freely purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And we read that Jesus from thence began to preach the gospel. Here we read of Caiaphas in the beginning. And what a remarkable mention of him in the context of John, who prepared the way for the coming of Christ. We read in this chapter of how Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, of how Herod was the king of the Jews, and how Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. And in their time, the word of God came unto John in the wilderness. And he came as that one of whom Isaiah prophesied, preparing the way for the Lord. And his message unto those that came unto him was cutting. O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And the people came unto him asking, what shall we do then? And he tells them. And the soldiers demanded of him and saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Soon after, Jesus appears, is baptized of John, and goes forth amongst this people whom John has warned. He said to the soldiers, neither accuse any falsely. And the truth appeared before all the people. The truth appeared before the priests and the Pharisees. The truth, Jesus Christ, came into the midst of this nation and before these priests and before this people and these soldiers and the high priests and the Pharisees sought to slay him. The truth stood before them and they sought to put him to death. Even though John had said of him that the fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner and the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Even though John had said all flesh shall see the salvation of God concerning Jesus Christ. Even though they had been plainly told that this one that cometh after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Even though John pointed unto him plainly and said, this is God's Son, he will come, you shall see the salvation of God. He is the truth. And he shall burn the chaff with fire unquenchable. Even though they'd been told, they'd been warned, nevertheless, they could not help themselves. And the chief priests and the Pharisees were stirred up with envy and hatred of this one in their midst and sought to put him to death. Here we are, Jesus appearing at the age of 30 to begin his ministry, in the time when Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. There were his adversaries from the beginning, ready to put him to death. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the Jews and the nation of the Jews, and the priests and the Pharisees and those that ruled over the Jews, and they received him not. He came unto those who were told of him, who should have believed on him, who should have been waiting for him and received of him, and they received him not. He came unto those that knew, and they rejected him, and they sought to put him to death. From the beginning, he was hounded unto death. When he was born, Herod hearing that he was born king of the Jews, put all the firstborn in Israel at that time to death in an effort to slay Jesus Christ. But he could put no finger upon Christ until God said, now's the time. And Christ was taken by his parents down to Egypt until it was safe to return. But from the moment of his conception in this world, man raged against the truth. And man continues to rage against the truth, even unto this day. Our natural inclination, when we hear the truth, when we hear of the truth, when we hear Christ, or when we hear of Christ, is to put him to death. We will not hear. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. So says your heart, so by nature said mine. We're all the same. We're all like these Jews. We will not have this man to reign over us. But what we noticed in John chapter 18, when Christ stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Was that Jesus made plain that his kingdom was not of this earth. Yes, he's the king of the Jews, but not the earthly Jews, but the spiritual. Not Israel on earth, but Israel on high. A heavenly kingdom, a heavenly people, a God-born people, born from on high, born by the Holy Ghost, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, chosen by the Father before the foundation of the world. That's his kingdom and that's his people. And now those are the ones he reigns over. The Jews rejected him, the Jews on earth, and they put him to death. But he who is the truth had another kingdom than theirs. And he came for those who were born citizens of that kingdom. But from the beginning, Caiaphas, his adversary, circled, as it were, waiting for his time. We read again of Caiaphas in particular in John chapter 11, following the account of the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. This momentous miracle in which Christ raised this dead man Lazarus from the grave. And the Jews knew of it, and Caiaphas knew of it. And yet in the end they put him to death. They knew that this man Jesus had the power to raise a dead man to life again. And yet Caiaphas would put Jesus to death, even though that same Jesus evidently had the power to bring life from the dead. In John chapter 11, following the resurrection of Lazarus, we read, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. What an event! What a reaction to this man and his miracles and his raising of Lazarus. And what a prophecy that came from the very lips of Jesus' adversary, Caiaphas. They were mindful, they were concerned that this man in their midst, Jesus, this worker of miracles, this one whom the people were amazed at, both in terms of what he could do and what he said, they were concerned that if they left this man Jesus alone, that it would lead to the destruction of their nation and their priesthood and their rituals and their heritage and all that they knew and had. It would lead to the destruction of all that they knew. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. But Caiaphas, in his wisdom, knew that if they were to put him to death, if they were to sacrifice this Jesus and get rid of him, then that would not come about. That their nation on earth, that their role as priests, that their traditions, that their position, their power could continue if they got rid of him. So from thence they plot to put Jesus to death, to preserve themselves. If we put him to death, we'll be saved. The Romans won't destroy us if we destroy him first. Self-preservation motivated them here. They thought if they could get rid of this one man, Jesus, then they'd all be spared. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Let's get rid of him, and we'll be fine. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. By getting rid of Jesus, they sought to preserve the nation and gather the nation in one. And in their speaking and thinking on an earthly level, in Caiaphas's words, which were so ultimately evil, in being set against Jesus the truth, the Son of God, in seeking to destroy Jesus to preserve himself and his nation, in his word, Caiaphas prophesied and purposed to bring about the very truth of God. What a remarkable prophecy of the gospel itself. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And that's exactly what came about, and exactly what God purposed, not on an earthly level, but on a heavenly level. Not that Jesus should die simply for the physical nation of Israel on earth at that time and gather in the physical Jews, But Jesus would die for spiritual Israel, his people, taken from all nations, taken from the four corners of the earth, taken from Jews and Gentiles. He would gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what he did. And when he laid down his life upon the cross, he delivered all his people from all their sins, from all corners of the earth, and gathered them in together as one, all the scattered children of God. But it's Caiaphas's betrayal of Jesus, it's Caiaphas's ruling over that mock trial in which the one who was truth was sentenced to death by those that spake lies, that brought this to pass. And it's Caiaphas's words here that prophesied of it. Out of their own mouths, they spake the truth. God put his words, his truth, into the mouth of Jesus' adversary here and brought about his purposes. These people set themselves against Christ, set themselves against God. And rather than furthering their own ends, as they sought to do, they brought about the very purpose of God. They fulfilled the covenant of God. They brought about the salvation of all God's people. Caiaphas spake of one man dying for the people. Nor considered that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. He spake of substitution. And that's exactly what came to pass. In John 18, we read, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Pilate says unto the Jews, having asked, what is truth? He then says to the Jews, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Caiaphas's words spake of substitution, and the outfalling of events in due course demonstrated and brought about this substitution. Barabbas was freed, that guilty criminal, and Jesus, in whom Pilate could find no fault, who asked, what is truth? When the one who is truth stood before him, released at the people's wish, Barabbas, and allowed Jesus to be taken away and crucified. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man! When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was a preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. How we see the sovereignty of God in all these events. Pilate said unto Jesus, Don't you know that I've got power to crucify thee and power to release thee? And Jesus said unto him, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Pilate merely did God's bidding. And Caiaphas did God's bidding. And Caiaphas, as Jesus said, delivered him unto Pilate. Thus Caiaphas had the greater sin. But how he stood as one substituted for his people. Pictured by the substitution of Barabbas as a picture and a figure of how Christ stood in the place of all his people. And Caiaphas, his adversary, spake in prophecy that that should come about. What a thing for Caiaphas to say. What a thing for Caiaphas to seek to do. To take this one man, Jesus, and put him to death. But what a thing that God used the wickedness of Caiaphas as he used the wickedness of others. Like the wickedness of Joseph's brothers in Genesis when they sought to put him to death and tried to get rid of him in that pit. But ultimately God raised him up and brought them to bow before him. What they purposed for evil, God used for good. And what Caiaphas here purposed for evil, to get rid of this man, to preserve his nation and his priesthood, God used for the salvation of all his people. When Caiaphas spake those words, that prophecy, in John chapter 11, having in mind Jesus, and seeking to put Jesus to death. What had Jesus just done? He'd raised Lazarus from the dead. He knew that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He knew what he was dealing with. This worker of miracles. Yet despite what he knew, despite the hand of God he could see upon him, he'd still moved with his wicked heart to get rid of him. And no matter what you may know, no matter what you may have heard of Jesus Christ and his gospel, how your heart will seek to silence him, to put him to death, how in your heart, in your foolish heart, you say there's no God. And by that, in essence, you try to get rid of God. You try to silence God. You try to shut your ears to God. You try to pretend to yourself there is no God. There is no Jesus. There is no gospel. There is no salvation. How you try to pretend that there is no sin. And there is no judgment to come. And it's all folly and foolishness. Caiaphas knew what Jesus had done. Caiaphas knew who Jesus was. But he still tried to silence him and put him to death. And you know, O sinner, that you are created and sustained by a holy and a gracious and an all-powerful God. You know what is true. It's in your conscience. It's in the world around you, in the creation around you. It's in the witness of the gospel and the truth of God. It's in the scriptures. You know it's the truth. What is truth, you may ask? But it may stand before you and you may see it. And hear it speak. You may hear him speak. And still you seek to put him to death. Because there's one that ruled in Caiaphas' heart. And there's one that rules in your heart. Satan. The devil. The adversary. The father of lies. Who every time the truth comes unto us. He comes unto us and says, surely not. Has God said? Maybe it's not so. And he whispers in our ears these lies and tries to make out God to be a liar. Even though God says this is the truth. This is the way, walk ye in it. Jesus stands before you and says this is the truth. And Satan the adversary comes alongside, comes within our hearts and says no. As God said, Caiaphas we see here presented to us as the adversary, as Jesus' adversary, as the one who handed him to be crucified, handed him over to Pilate, sought his death, sought to get rid of him in order that he and his people might be preserved. Caiaphas is the adversary who's possessed by the adversary, Satan himself. And what Caiaphas sought to do in crucifying Christ, destroying him and his message and his gospel, we seek to do when we shut our ears to the gospel, when we shut our ears to the truth, and when we shut our ears to Jesus Christ. We seek to do the same for the same adversary, Satan, the serpent, the devil, whispers in our ears, hath God said? And yet all that Satan whispered in Caiaphas' ears and in the ears of the people and in our ears in bringing about the death of Jesus Christ merely fulfilled all the prophecy which even came from Caiaphas' lips and brought about the fulfillment of all that God said should be. All that John prophesied of Christ that would follow him. All that Christ said would be. All that the prophets before John and Christ had said should come and happen. All that God had purposed in the covenant was fulfilled when they nailed the nails through Jesus' hands and feet. When he was crucified upon the cross. When he hung in the darkness bearing the sins of his people. When he was forsaken in the darkness by even his father because he was guilty. As he who died a substitute for sinners. When he was laid in the grave. When he rose again. All was fulfilled. And all was brought about. And when this one man. When this one man, Jesus, died, his people, the nation, all the scattered children of God were gathered with him at the cross, in the grave, and then ascended with him in victory unto the Father. He delivered his people from their sins. His blood was shed when a Roman soldier took a spear and thrust it in his side. John has said unto the people, unto the soldiers, do no violence. Do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. But they could not help themselves. The spear was thrust, the blood flowed forth, and though man did evil, though man rejected, though we all put Jesus to death, Jesus saved his people from their sins. Yes, Caiaphas was an adversary, but he brought about God's will. He was a puppet in God's hands, as is the adversary Satan who possessed him. Satan may rage against God and do all that he can to thwart God's will, but he's a puppet in God's hands. Caiaphas in John chapter 18 brought about the enactment of his own prophecy. He put his own hand to it. Though Pilate sought to wash his hands of the death of Jesus, Caiaphas put his hands to it. He went about from the day when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He went about seeking how Jesus should be killed, and eventually they bring it to pass. He put his hands to it, and he brings about the fulfillment of his own prophecy, and God's words are spoken by him, and all the prophecies of God concerning his son Jesus Christ. The adversary stood before Christ. He put his hand to him, but in so doing, he brought about the salvation of all God's people. Christ rose again from the dead. But the death and resurrection of Jesus is not our last encounter in the scriptures with Caiaphas. Following Jesus' death, he's risen as Lazarus was risen. He was raised from the dead, and he ascended unto his Father, and he sent forth the gospel in power from on high. He sent forth the apostles who took that gospel out into the four corners of the earth. That gospel which God preaches, which Christ preaches from on high today, that gospel which you're hearing today, which God sends forth from on high because of the death and the resurrection of his Son Jesus Christ, he sent forth that gospel. And when the disciples went forth with that gospel, they met the same opposition and rejection that Jesus met. In Acts chapter 4 we read, as the disciples, as Peter, spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. These are the same people that gathered at that trial of Jesus. And Peter knew before whom he was standing here and what they could do. He knew what Caiaphas had done unto Christ. And he knew that these high priests and these people could put them to death. Yet they're brought before them. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. What a direct response to these adversaries. The very same adversary, Caiaphas, the very same priest, the very same people that had put Jesus unto death. Here are Jesus' disciples following Jesus' resurrection from the dead and ascension into glory. Here are his disciples saying to the same adversaries, we've preached this message, and this impotent man has been healed by the power of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Here is salvation in Christ alone. Here is the salvation of all sinners who believe on his name. You can't stop him. How powerful their words must have come across to Caiaphas. Caiaphas had prophesied that Christ must die. Caiaphas ruled over the events that brought about the death of Christ. And then these men come before him. And it's plain that Jesus, like Lazarus before, is risen. And his power continues. And the sick are healed. And the dead live. And there is salvation in his name. O Caiaphas, O you adversaries of the truth, you cannot put Christ in the grave. You cannot silence his people. You cannot silence the gospel. You cannot silence the risen Christ. How significant is this encounter? Who they stood before, and how direct is their response? Only God could give them the faith and the strength to speak directly like this. But what a glorious gospel they proclaimed. How they could stand knowing that Caiaphas could put them to death and they, like Christ, would rise again. He could do nothing. He was powerless. He and all their adversaries, Satan himself, could do nothing to destroy Jesus Christ, his kingdom, his people. Could do nothing to silence the gospel. And you and I today, no power on earth can silence this gospel, this Jesus, this salvation. Have you heard him? Has he come unto you in power like he came unto these disciples? Has he stood before you like he stood before Pilate and said, I am the truth? Have you heard his voice calling from on high, from that ascended glory, having shed his blood, having risen from the dead, having ascended? Have you heard that there is salvation in none other name but in his? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.